Welcome to the Kicking It With Ray podcast. I'm your host, Rainice, and I'm here to discuss all things reality TV from a black and brown perspective. From dating and marriage to competitions and everyday pop culture, I'll be diving into it all. Thanks so much for tuning in. Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of Kicking It With Ray. My name is Rainice, and I'm the host, and today I'm joined by my dear friend Ashley, and we're here to talk some bonus material of Island, particularly the UK one and the All-Star season that is on right now. First time ever doing the All-Star season. I'm here because I've never really watched a full whole season of Love Island, except for one of the American seasons. I've never watched any of the UK ones, and I did not finish Love Island Games this past winter. So, but I'm here because I just tried to binge as much as I could, and I wanted to discuss with someone who is a Bachelor expert why this show, Love Island, is doing so well when our Bachelor seems to be going the opposite direction. So, Ashley, welcome to my show again.
Thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure to talk with you. And I love Love Island. So I'm excited to talk to get more people to watch it.
Yeah. And from the 14 episodes I just binge watched, I'm like, this show is really great. It has a lot of, like, I want to call millennial aspects to it that make it really interesting and make you want to keep watching. Like, for me, the best part about it is the live feature. So it feels very less edited. It feels like you're more involved. There's a voting component behind it where the actual fans have a say in who you hook up with. Now, I do wonder how rigged that is and like, what the truth is behind it. But whether they're lying to me or not, it feels like I'm part of the story now, you know?
It does. It does.
So tell me what brought you to Love Island and what you love about it.
What brought me to Love Island is my same friend who brought me to The Bachelor, Jess. She told me to watch it, and I started watching it over the summer with her, and when it airs live in the UK, it's a little bit behind, so at first, we were just watching it on Hulu, and then I would start, like, looking at social media, because that's what you do, and Love Island Twitter is just probably the funniest, like, place in the world. Like, people are, I don't know, the humor is just way better than Bachelor Twitter to me. And a new episode airs every day, basically. So Sunday through Friday, new episodes. Saturdays, they have like unseen bits or whatever, which is just like a whole hour of bloopers. And like you said, you get to vote. Who's your favorite couple? Least favorite Islander? All sorts of things like that. And the summer series takes place about 8 weeks. So, and then there's a finale and a winner. And then this is a winter series, so it's been going since January 15th, and the finale is on Monday, February 19th.
It's crazy. Like, they are there for 5 weeks, and it's not quote-unquote Bachelor weeks where they tell us every episode is a week, and it's really not. These are legit. They are there for 5 weeks. I couldn't even imagine a job giving me that time off for
this. Exactly, and you don't know how long you need to, so...
Yeah, yeah. So this is the first time they've done an all-star season. So basically, they have brought back people from previous seasons who, whether they found love or not on the show, all of them are now single.
Yes.
The messiest part of it is they have brought back a few exes.
Yes, that was a big theme this season, which is like good in one way because like it's automatic drama and tension, but also like they did it to three couples, I believe. So it's like, okay.
Yeah, because Kaz and Tyler, who are the only black couple, although Tyler is clearly mixed. I shouldn't say clearly, but it appears he probably is. Kaz is a monoracial black woman. And then who was the other one? Callum and Molly. And then, so technically, Toby and Georgia were not an actual couple. Like, they keep saying like, it wasn't a relationship, but like, it definitely was a situationship.
Yeah, everybody has history. I think Toby and Georgia briefly were paired together on Love Island Games, which
they were
prior to Love Island All-Star. So that's, I think that's where that originated.
Okay, gotcha. I did watch half of that. So
it was really good too.
Yes, it was good. It just, again, for me, because I didn't know the background, sometimes it got a little like slow. And then I just keep up with the daily, like it's a lot. So that's basically 5 to 6 episodes a week that you have to like keep up with. And if you fall behind, it can be a lot. But
it
then
can
when you
be.
Sit down and just binge it, it's so good.
It is. I like the daily aspect of it. To me, they have the best drop schedule out of everyone, because we were just talking before we came on about Love Island, not Love Island, but Love is Blind, and 6 episodes at one time. It's just like, I know it's just like hard for me to get through, but I can sit, I can sacrifice an hour a day for Love Island. I love the routine and the ritual of it. So, but yeah, I did get behind on the Super Bowl Sunday and it took me a couple of days to catch up. But like, yeah, that's my bet. Like biggest advice is just don't get behind. Like
just don't get behind.
Just don't get behind.
Yeah, even if like maybe if it's just one episode behind, but then like once you get like where I'm at, where I've got like 10 more to go, it's like, oh, because as I was watching those, another one dropped. So I just power through and finish it. So kind of back to like the couples aspect, it's not even just couples together. All these people kind of know each other in some way.
They do.
And so when I was first thinking about the concept of it, my first thought was like, well, if you were to throw me in a house with all my friends and all my friends' exes and people that I have flirted with before, but it didn't go anywhere, would I date? How would that go? And as we see, a lot of people are having an issue, like forming partners. I feel like even the one season that I watched, partners were formed very quickly because they didn't know each other. They just came in immediately looking for the same thing. But here it almost feels like, you remember that season of Bachelor in Paradise with Aaron and Genevieve? And remember how all of the men and all the girls just hung out with their own
genders?
Like, that's kind of how it was feeling for the first like 5 episodes, where they just wanted to be on vacation and the girls were like, when we're on vacation, no one wanted to put their heart out there. Everyone had an issue with this person or that for whatever like trivial reason. And I was just like, this is not going to go anywhere.
Yeah. I think that was one thing they hadn't anticipated, but like everybody had history and like they're coming in, like you're not some people are bombshells, but you all are kind of like established, like the public knows you, you have the support that you need. So there's no real reason to like graft, as they say. Like there's no real reason for them to like put their neck out there until they kind of had to. So yeah, that was a little bit of a slow start with like the connections forming. I agree.
Can you just said one of the words that I had to go look up, and by context I kind of figured out what grafting meant, but what does it mean?
So grafting is just like pulling people for a chat or just like flirting or getting to know them and just, you know, playing the game.
I want to like find out the origins of that slang, because I'm like, what? Like they kept saying it and I was like, are we architectures? Like, are we something? Like, what are we talking about? I was so confused. And then the other one they say is cracking.
Cracking on with somebody essentially is the same thing. And early days and early doors, like it's just like the show's just getting started. So like there's no need to really form a significant bond. So like if it's just early doors, like, or early days, like we just met, basically, is what they're saying.
Okay. I definitely was like, I'm assuming they kind of mean the same things. It's very, so I have a really hard time hearing accents. I'm so American and I feel so embarrassed admitting this, especially like having lived in multiple countries, but I can't understand them half the time. So I have to have the subtitles on.
I'm
constantly like rewinding it. Like, what the fuck did they just say?
Especially, you have to watch with that.
With subtitles. And then, so it's also like, it's one of those shows where I can't multitask, because if I look away and they start to fighting, then all of a sudden I've missed
the context.
I've missed the context because I didn't understand what one person said and I got to go back and like figure it out. So that also like slowed me down a little bit in watching, but now that I figured out I can't like be distracted. I'm going to like power through. One of the things I texted you when I first started was the racism.
Yeah. Love Island also has like so, you know, we as Americans, like you said, we are very like focused on our own culture and just like how racism works in the United States, but like obviously people are anti-black everywhere. And so, and we found out a lot when, like, Meghan Markle and Prince Harry getting married, a lot of the racism in the British public kind of was, like, brought to the surface, or just, like, how different but the same it is and
same.
Their country and their, and so, like, with Love Island, I will say, like, positively, I do think they have more monoracial black contestants than, like, The Bachelor at times.
Really?
But I mean, just for me, I feel like even Love is Blind too, I will say, like, I feel like there are just more darker skinned contestants on those shows versus The Bachelor. I think The Bachelor's doing better, but, like, there are more darker skinned contestants. But also, the British public, like, doesn't usually vote for the black couples. I think, to my memory, the only couple that I could think winning it was, like, one biracial guy, Kai, and his girlfriend, who is also a woman of color. Her name is Sanam. But I think they were the only couple that were not white that have won so far. Also, like, in the recouplings and things, like, sometimes, well, this season, and there was a TikTok, and I can share it with you later, so if you want to, like, put it in your show notes or whatever, but there was a TikTok where some of the former contestants were like, well, you know, what happened to us? Like, why didn't they get invited? So I don't know if casting did not invite all of, like, all of the former contestants or black contestants back on the show. I know there's Kaz, Toby, Callum is biracial, mixed race. I think, yeah, at first it took me a while. Then I was like, wait a minute. So I haven't seen.
There was a few shots where I was like, wait, who's that? Like,
yeah.
Because he did look a little more brown. But
yeah,
maybe he's like, one of his parents is biracial, the other one's white or something.
Yeah.
It's barely brown. But yeah, I could see that.
Yeah, I love him. So I have, like, gone down his Instagram and TikTok, but I haven't seen any pictures of his family. But yeah, but Kaz is the person we're talking about, and she's the only monoracial black woman on the show. She really never had a viable option come into the villa, to be honest, because they brought in Tyler, her ex, but she and Tyler, like, were exes for a reason. And so she immediately, like, did it that, as she should have, because he wasn't serious.
And I love how she did that. She was just like, I mean, no, I don't go back. Because I guess
exactly.
He did something like he reached out to her four times and she, like, never responded. And she was
she
like,
was like, I know.
Yeah. Like, once I end something, I end it, babes. Like, sorry.
And she's so beautiful. And it's just like, I didn't love seeing her get friend zoned the entire series. But, like, also, I just don't think they casted any men who were, like, seriously pursuing black women.
Yeah.
I don't know how far you've gotten. Has Casey come in the villa? I don't want to spoil
not
it.
Yet. You can
Okay.
Spoil it. This is not a spoiler free podcast for this episode, because this is my fault for getting behind. I told Ashley before the show started, I had every intentions of catching all the way up, and then I had a book that was, like, randomly due today, so I had to finish it.
Priorities.
Yes. Yeah. So it is my fault for not finishing. But yeah, feel free to spoil it. I am up to where they just Callum just told them that he slept with 16 women in between the 6 months him and Molly broke up.
He didn't mean to. It was an accident.
His dick just slipped and fell at him, as
times.
It happened.
There was something he said that made me laugh, and he was something like, she said, just do you. He was like, I did. And I was like, oh, Callum.
I fell out laughing. Some of their quips are fucking hilarious. Like, I think in the same game, Kaz's best friend, Liberty. Her and Mitch had just kind of, like, broke up or whatever. He said something to her as she was sitting down, and she says, fuck off, under her breath. It was so subtle that, like, I was like, wait, who said that? And it was the funniest thing ever, because he was like, good job.
I love her.
Mate, or something. And she was like, fuck off. Like, it was.
I love her. I love her and Kaz too. They have such a good friendship. I didn't watch their season. So after everything is over with this season, my friend has given me a list of Love Island seasons to go back and watch, because everything is on Hulu.
Okay.
And so it is interesting to, like, watch the whole trajectory. But I've been watching since series 8, like I said. But yeah, I think
they're
they
really
didn't bring
young.
Yeah, they are.
So what series are we up to for UK? Is 8, like, the most current one?
Series 10 was the last one that aired this summer. So this is technically series 1 of All Stars, but you could say it's series 11.
True. And they do a summer and then a winter.
Yeah.
So technically there's like
Not.
two every year.
Yeah, I don't think it's always been two, but like over the past couple of years it has been. But the winter series usually doesn't get as much attention.
Okay. No, I was only asking because Sophie just came in the house and she's only 25. Her and then she come in with Tom is only 24. And she said she's from series five. And I was like, wait a minute. So you were like 20 when you went on? How young are these kids? And they're all talking about, like, yeah, I'm 32 now. And I'm like, oh my God, shut up.
I think there's one girl I can remember that was like 19,
Oh, wow.
maybe on series 10. But I think like there's people who have been like 19 and 20 that have gone on the show. So this cast is actually a little bit older, but like I was telling my friend that yesterday, I feel like you can't really tell how old they are by what series they say they're from, because they could be from series 5 and be 25. Like,
Yeah. Well, that's why I was like, so they must be doing multiple series a year, because that just doesn't make any sense. Like, she's young as hell. And then yeah, I think the oldest person there is Hannah, who's 33, and she's from the original, the very first season. Which, can we just talk about Hannah for one second? Beautiful personality. I think seems like a lot of fun. What did she do to her body?
Very Playboy.
Very Playboy, but like, where did you get this done at? And do you just sit out in the sun all day because it's not aging well? Like, she said she's only 33, and I'm like, babe, you look at least 40. It's not well. And like, I hate talking about women like this, but I just feel like if you're gonna pay to completely distort your body like this, like, you have to. And I what did she look like this, do you know, on her original season? Because I tried to like look it up, and I just.
I don't know. Like, there were a couple people, like, I can think of, like, Georgia Steele, for example. I looked back on her Instagram the other day, or just like looked up like before and after. A lot of them do get cosmetic procedures done. I mean, I can't imagine like going on a show and seeing yourself for like 8 weeks. Like, I can see, like, I'm not justifying, or I don't. No, I'm neutral. If you want to enhance how you look, like, who am I to say don't do it?
I
But
agree
yeah, a
with
lot of
you.
them
I
have
just
done
think
it.
do it, like, pay the money to have it be done well, and then take care of the body you paid for. And I feel like whether or not I don't think she got had a good I don't think it was a good job. Like, whatever she had done, whether it was before or after, I don't know. But you're not supposed to look fake. Like, Georgia Steele, if she hadn't just told us she got her boobs done, I would have never known.
What's her face?
Oh, she had her face done too.
It
Okay.
just looks different. I don't even know. Like, you just have to like look at the before and after. I hate how they say Georgia H. They like H. I don't know if you noticed. They say it really hard.
But I appreciate every time they do say a last name. Sometimes they just say Georgia, and I'm like, which one? Which is
It's
another point I
George.
had, is that I can't really tell all the people apart yet. I'm still trying to figure that out. I feel like both Georgias kind of look alike. They're both, light brunettes, really skinny. Georgia S has bangs, which helps me to tell them
Yes,
apart.
she does.
Yeah,
She
and
does.
then the other Georgia does not have bangs. So I'm like, okay, their facial features are not similar at all. Like, when they're sitting next
No.
to each other, it's like, yeah, I can tell them apart. But sometimes if their hair is wet or if they're like passing by, I'm like, wait, which one are you?
Miss Georgia, yeah.
Yeah, which Georgia are you? So I appreciate them using the full names, and I'm getting better. Again, I said my issue is I multitask too much, so I'm trying to just like pay attention more. I think my biggest issue with the show, honestly, is that they don't show their names enough. They only show their names whenever they're doing the interviews, the like confessionals or whatever, and they don't do as many confessionals as like Bachelor does.
No.
Sometimes a whole segment will go by with two people talking, and I'm like, I don't remember who those two people are.
Yeah, but I like what you said about the authenticity of it. Like, it does feel, I mean, obviously, I'm sure producers are pulling them and saying, like, you should go talk to Callum, or Molly should go talk to Georgia S or whatever. But I do think it does feel a little more natural and not as much like produced.
Yeah, definitely. And like, they don't have a lot of time between when the episode is filmed and when it airs to bridge together. And they're definitely not pulling clips from other episodes and, Frankenbiting stuff, which we have a lot of issues with on The Bachelor. So I think that alone just makes me feel like it's more authentic. So that is definitely keeping me coming back and wanting to see more, because it just feels more real. Like, you actually know these people.
Absolutely. I think I saw some tweets where people were like complaining about the series being boring, And it was like a lot of UK people. And I was like, we sound, and look, it just sounds like how we talk about The Bachelor. I'm so, like, the grass is greener, no matter what, like, series or show you're watching.
There's always going to be someone who just wants bullshit drama and, and you know, fires to burn.
This season has definitely been given drama with the whole triangle with Georgia S and Toby and Tom. I guess that's like a square. And, like, Molly and Georgia S. I'm team Molly. I love her. She's probably one of my favorite Islanders ever, her and Callum.
Yeah. Well, you know, I like Georgia, but I just obviously just saw the episode where her and Callum.
You like which Georgia?
S. I like her. Well, I don't. So, okay, I'm starting to not like her because in this past episode, it was when her and Callum spent the night together, but she had just finished telling Tom that she would choose him. And now she's telling Callum, like, I'm glad it was with you. I wouldn't want to be in this room with anyone else. And I'm like, you are saying different things, ma'am. And it just feels very messy.
And like Maria said, do you know we're on camera? Like, girl, you're getting caught in HD telling these lies.
Yeah, that's where I'm like, are you just trying to, like, you don't know where to hedge your bets yet? Like, you don't know where to lay your eggs? Like, what is happening? Or does she really just not know who she wants? And I feel like that's okay, but I don't know, be more honest about it. Like, don't tell people you're the one that I want, and we're telling that to multiple people. Because didn't Mitch got in trouble for doing that? I don't like Mitch at all, so I don't really care.
No one likes Mitch.
Yeah. I don't care that he got in trouble for this, but he literally told what was her name? Demi, that she was his number one, and then went and told Liberty, like, that she was his number one.
You know, Liberty was doing too much for me with Mitch. I'm like, girl, this is messy Mitch. He is not a prize. Like, you are the prize. And I wanted her to just have some more, like, respect for herself and, like, let this man go. Like, she was, I think she was just doing too much. She's too lovely to be settling for him.
Yeah, and the fact that he got into drama, like, the very first night was like, ooh, why would you want to go for that man where all the men are calling? Like, I could never be with the guy that people are calling Messy Mitch. That's...
Yeah, he earned that from the last season he was on.
I've heard, and I even just what I've seen, he's messy as hell. But you know what's interesting is that a lot of the things he did, he has been called Messy Mitch for, other people have done and not been called messy for it. Like, it's like...
Right.
But I think there's, you know, history behind that too. It's not just like a one-off thing, but he is a very unattractive man to me. I didn't think he was cute to begin with, but then when you add in his Mitch bitch behavior, I'm definitely like, ew, big major turnoff.
Major ick.
Liberty is so gorgeous, so sweet. I love, like you said, her and Kaz's relationship, the way when Tyler came in, and Liberty was like, let me holler at you real quick.
Pulled him for a chat so fast.
Like, might I suggest you don't fuck with my friend?
Period. And he did
comfortable. It. Yes. And he was like, whoa. I don't want no problems. Let me figure shit out. Yes. So I loved that so much. Definitely made me happy. But one of the things I have noticed, and I feel like this is a, I feel like it's bigger in the UK than in America. And I have a love-hate relationship with this. I'm going to say why I hate it first and then why I love it. Mm-hmm. But for the drama that is happening with people who coupled up for one day. I can't remember what the first one was, but the last one that just happened was Annabella.
And Chris.
Is it Arabella or is it Annabella?
Arabella.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So between her and Chris. So what happened was they went on a lovely date and basically decided they wanted to get to know each other. They also agreed that they were going to be open to meeting other people and they were just going to be honest about it. Like, hey, if you want to get to know someone, just tell me. So then Sophie comes in, who is this beautiful, I guess she's half black. I don't know. She's of color. comes in.
And she's mixed race.
Okay. And then Chris says that he's had a crush on her for years, so is really excited to get to know her. And this, like, immediately upsets Arabella. And he's confused because he's like, well, I'm being honest with you. Like, I still want to get to know you, but I also want to get to know her. Mm-hmm. And he makes a promise that he's not going to be, like, making out with either one of them in front of the other, which I thought was, you know, very gentlemanly because there's not a lot of places to hide here.
Right.
I love that. But then I guess it's like the next day, him and Sophie are walking out to the pool mm-hmm. and they're kind of like holding hands a little bit. Mm-hmm. And this just sets Arabella off.
Mm-hmm.
And she immediately is like, oh, he's disingenuous and he lied to me and all this, just like going off on him. And they get into this huge fight. And I just the whole time was like, this is crazy. This is a little wild. How did you feel about that?
Well, I think both of them, because, you know, Chris opened up to her on the date or whatever. So I think he was up. Well, let me just preface this, but Chris and Arabella are not people that I care about. So I was not super invested in their relationship. I do think, and I want to know more about, you have to have me back on when you finish so you can give me your thoughts about how stuff has progressed.
Yeah, because I did tell you before we started that I think Chris is so fine. I'm a huge Harry Potter fan. When I think about what James Potter looks like, I think of Chris. This is like what I can imagine James Potter grown up, like being still a little bit of a badass. Like, because Chris he wears glasses. He's kind of got that like shaggy, I want to get in fights look. He's all tatted up. So he'd be like a James, or it could be a Sirius, but I think Sirius is like a little bit more dark. But then he also has that like guyliner effect. You know, and I can't tell if he actually has guyliner on or not, but his eyes look like they do. And some guys just have lashes that are dark and look like that. I fucking love it. That is like my favorite white boy look.
A lot of women stepped out for him when, like, at the beginning of the first episode. So people were interested. He's not my personal cup of tea. I'm a Callum girl, but I see the appeal. But I think he, like, deflects with humor a lot and, like, he leads with that. And so
he's very funny. And I think that's probably what drew me to him, too. But it can be problematic. So,
yeah. So then I think when he let his guard down with Arabella and told her that, like, they seem like they were progressing. And it was really nice to see, because she, and like you'll see over the next couple of weeks, she's just had a rough go of it in the villa, but I don't think she was a fan favorite before. So people really weren't like backing her or whatever. But like, I think once they had that argument, it just kind of got nasty. And it feels like maybe she saw a side of him that he didn't want to be seen. And he opened up to her and felt like, because of how she reacted or responded, like it just completely turned off. But it just ended really ugly.
Really ugly.
It just wasn't nice.
So those are the parts I hated about it, how it just felt like she was attacking him without having a conversation, because she came at him very much like, you lied to me, you did this, and blah blah blah. It wasn't like, hey, I'm confused, I feel hurt by this. And this is a like common characteristic amongst all of them. They all get, because they're invested, like a lot. Like, so it's both they're invested and they're not invested. It's like they're all so worried about getting their feelings hurt and being vulnerable and not being reciprocated that they end up just being dickheads to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really crazy to see, because it's like people who clearly like each other and clearly want to just couple up, but both of them are like, well, if you don't say it, then I'm not going to say it. And if I don't say it, then you're not saying it. And we're just both not going to say it. So fuck you. And it's just, it's insanity to see. I'm like, I'm literally, y'all both want to be with each other. Just be with each other.
Right.
But so.
It was bad. I didn't like how it fell out.
I think that's what the first fight that I was thinking of. It was between Georgia and Toby. And like y'all are both wanting to be together, but neither one of you wants to say it first. And it is y'all are literally fighting because you don't want to say, let's just couple up.
I don't like them as a couple.
I know. Oh, no, I'm not rooting for them. But that conversation was just so like, what? Like, what is happening? I felt like that was the biggest. I felt like I'm not speaking the same language because I don't.
No one is. No one is.
It was crazy. But back to Arabella and Chris, because what I did love about it is that she is a very strong personality. I feel like her and Maria get along really well.
Mm-hmm.
Because she was like, no, I don't like how you made me feel, and I'm going to tell you. Mm-hmm. And I love a woman who can be bold and can like say that she doesn't like something.
Right.
And accept bullshit just a man from like fighting with her. I love that so much because at the end of the day, if a man cares about you, then he's gonna care about your feelings no matter what they are. And so the only thing I hated was her approach, because it was it put him on the defense.
Mm-hmm.
And he's already told you that he doesn't like being vulnerable. Mm-hmm. So when you put a man like that on the defense, he lashes out, and that's what happens. And it was very ugly.
Mm-hmm.
And And then I just saw that this was also the episode where they played the game and everybody kept saying that she was like the most, like would cheat or was playing a game. Mm-hmm. Like, really were coming for her. And she, like yeah. I said, Maria, so she does not take well to people mischaracterizing her. And so she's mm-hmm. snapping back. And it's not, it doesn't look good to me. It's like someone just coming into this. I'm like, ooh, this mm-hmm. this can come off, this can go badly. I can see how this might not yeah. be attractive to people. So that makes sense to me if she's having a hard time in the house, because I'm like, ooh, yeah, that's awkward.
Yeah. She's having a hard time finding a connection. And I think Chris was her strongest connection. So it was just kind of sad to see it break down. But yeah, a lot of the games really are the main source of like tension, because people would, you know, fight and fall out. But like the games usually are like revelatory in some way mm-hmm. to like reveal somebody's inner thoughts, underlying tensions. And yeah.
And I love the game. So mm-hmm. a quick description of the games is they're basically all truth or dare type games. like they all are either take this truth, take this dare, or just answer this question, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And they're all bold enough to really do it. They're not shy. Mm-hmm. A lot of times it's like, which two Islanders do you want to snog? And they go and have to actually snog mm-hmm. them. There's a lot of multiple makeout sessions happening mm-hmm. back to back. And that's always my thing with bachelors. Like, are you brushing your teeth in between making out? They're not. They are going from one mouth to the next. And I'm just always like, oh, I don't want to be the second person.
Well, the you'll be looking forward to a couple of things. Like, there's some games that are every season. And actually, this season doesn't have the best twist, which is the Casa Amor. And they split the couples.
Okay.
Mm-mm, so this one does not have it. But the Heart Rate Challenge is probably my favorite game, where they dress up in costumes and then like basically do lap dances for all of the contestants. And then like the girls go first and then the guys go, and then they see like who raised each other's heart rate the most. Mm. And that's always interesting. So yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But those kind of things are interesting. Like, I would like mm-hmm. to see, I feel like The Bachelor kind of did something like that one time where they were like measuring, it was sweat. They were, mm-hmm. They were like measuring like how you reacted when I put one of the, like, it was weird. It wasn't, I feel like that's not as, it was uncomfortable watching that mm-hmm. one. It wasn't mm-hmm. done as well. But games like that, that's going to be interesting to see.
Mm-hmm. And also movie night, which is, like, well, it was the PDA Awards this time, but basically they air clips the other, because, you know, it's an interesting thing. And I think somebody brought it up on The Bachelor. Like, we get to see the whole narrative because we see the conversations of multiple people, but like the contestants aren't seeing all the conversations that other people are having. Mm-hmm. So they'll air clips of like what people have said about each other or done like behind the other person's back. And then there's like the back and forth
about that.
So that was a great episode.
Okay, I'm gonna go power through just to get to that then, because that was
a great episode.
That is phenomenal TV. That's like one of the things I love about Fuckboy Island is when they get a chance to go scour the social media pages. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I'm like, that is genius, because you need to see what's really happening. Little mm-hmm. things like those type of aspects, I fucking love that. I love that. Yeah. So much.
You'll love it when you get to the PDA Awards.
Okay,
lots
what
of
else?
Drama.
What else do you, like, aspects of this show do you feel like are what's helping make it work so well?
Well, like, the daily ritual of it, like I said before, is probably my favorite. Just knowing there's a one episode a day, the voting aspect, so you get to vote on, like, your least favorite Islander, favorite couple, things like that. And I think just the community around it, the fact that it's happening now, like, I think we're always a few days out of the season, so, like, you know, there might be a couple days ahead, but like we're really watching it in real time. Like, they're actually in South Africa right now. Mm. I also really like the podcast they have. It's called The Morning After. So a couple of former Islanders host it, and then they have comedians, and then people who are recently dumped host it as like come on as guests as well. Mm. And it's a really good companion piece. It's usually never more than like 24 minutes. Okay. So this is like the first time I've watched the show, like, with my VPN. Mm-hmm. And so I'm watching it in real time with the UK, which is, it's really a pleasure to watch it. And like, I don't get to vote, obviously, but it's really fun to watch it in real time and like have the podcast, have the Twitter, the contestants coming out. I just think they do a better job of like sharing on social media. Their content is like always there. When the series like is airing, the show's airing, like the clips are online, there's lots of conversation about it. So yeah, I think the community aspect is like unbeatable.
Yeah. Okay, I love that. And I think what I love about it is that because this show is so real, you know that they're not playing a character and they're just being themselves. And however it comes out. And so it just feels way more authentic. And I just love that. I'm excited to see the rest of these games and how they play out. I do love just how uninhibited they are. And I don't know if that's like a difference between British culture and American culture to where I lived in Europe for 6 years growing up, so I feel like in general Europeans are just more like it is what it is and more real about, especially like sexual things. Like they just don't care. Like watching the women walk around in lingerie and their
The
cheeks out.
men too.
Yeah, like they just don't care. There's no shame, and I love that because in America we have this purity culture where the girls, I feel like these women would not do half of the things.
Well, that's interesting you say that. One, I want to say that also I feel like the men are kind of more affectionate towards each other and openly just like a little more, I don't know, loving. Like when Casey comes in, him and Tom are like besties, and they like when Casey got eliminated last, when I think series 9 when they were together, Tom was like sobbing. I just like how they're more in touch with their emotions, I'd say. But the American Love Island USA, I did not watch this past season, but people were like openly being intimate in the room with everyone else, because you
Angie
know they're all, because you know that's what the Hideaway essentially
is
is
for.
for. Like you prove your couple is strong enough to have like time away from everyone, and you do what you want to do with that time. So it's always interesting to see like which couples in the Hideaway like
Well,
are,
maybe they're getting more like, okay, we have to be more like the UK people because the UK people are coming in hot. But like the
Yeah, I
season.
think it was Casa Amor when they were like doing that though, but that's crazy.
Okay. When I watched the season with Justine and Johnny and what was Celie?
Selly.
Celie, yeah, Celie. Not Celie is color purple. But Celie, yeah. When I watched that season, you could just tell they were so self-conscious about like doing anything. Like Celie was like, I can't have sex on camera. I can't like what and it just to me, it was very much giving Bachelor. Like, I'll be out with you and I'll be sexy, whatever, but don't touch me too. Don't go, like it was different. It vibe. And maybe it's gotten more R-rated since then. I just like so d one of the things they just had to do in one of the games was the balloon when they had to pop the balloons. They were doing it all these different ways. And what was funny was the camera wasn't fully showing the times where the girls were like on their knees or bent over, but you could see like that's what was happening. And I was like, there's no way in hell
That would air on The Bachelor,
that
or
yeah, you would never see that on The Bachelor. Or I don't even think I would do that. And I like watching it, but I'm like, I don't think I would do that, thinking about my parents watching this and like what?
Like I do like that they are like that they share a bed together, like the nighttime scenes. I don't know, I just like the routine and ritual aspect of it, like oh, you get to see how the couples progress. But yeah, some of the more sexier challenges I personally would not partake in. Like there's another couple later on that just happened, maybe was it Friday, where they voted for somebody else to go in the Hideaway, and one couple was put up there and they didn't. So there was a whole Reddit piece like, why didn't they go in the Hideaway? And some people just don't want their intimate moments filmed, which I get. Like I fully understand and support when people choose either side. Like personally, I probably wouldn't want to go in the Hideaway.
But so, why didn't they want to go in there? Because you don't have to have sex. Like, Callum and what's her name? Georgia were just in there and they didn't have sex, but.
I don't know why she did it. I don't know. That was the whole thing, because like everybody was like this couple, and one of the people was clearly like no, this other couple, and kind of like pushed it to the point there where I was like, oh well, we can just let them go. So the whole thread was about like why she did that, and she might, I mean, you really have known each other for 4 or 5 weeks. You might just not want that to be on television. I think people sometimes just don't want it to be on television. So it's not like their relationship isn't progressing. I'm not sure, but I think it is interesting to watch, follow them post show. So like Monday will be the finale. Then there's usually like fourth, third, second, and first place. And I have an idea of who I think is gonna win. But there's a couple that people are rooting for that are not together either. But like the producers tried to sneak it back in the edit, like to get people from home to bring it up when they had a phone call. I do want that couple to be together, but I want them to be happy. So whatever happens, happens. But I really am excited for the finale because, like I said, it's the first time that I've watched
You can
it.
say the names. I'm not gonna, is it like
Callum and Molly were exes and they had broke up maybe 6 months before.
Right.
So at first, when they got there, people were saying that they wanted them, that they came on to get back together on the show to get more followers and stuff. And then, as we've seen so far, like they have had a few hiccups, decided to part ways. I feel like if the whole British public wants them back together, and now they're at a good place where they're friends and they're rooting for each other, which is really nice to see. And it's just like platonic, but they have so much chemistry that people just kind of want them back together. But I think they're at a good place where they're just friends. And sometimes that's what life is. Like you don't get like the magic fairy tale. But I think people really want them back together. And if you go back and look at their old TikToks, which I did, I'm like, oh, they were so cute. They were so cute.
They kind of talked about their breakup a little bit, and it just kind of sounds like he was taking her for granted maybe, and wasn't as in the relationship as she felt like. And like 3 years is a long time to be with someone and not be talking about marriage.
Yeah,
So
Molly said that she thought they were going to get married. And I think at the beginning of the season when they were going back and forth too, like I don't think it was fully closed off between them yet, but like the signals just weren't aligning. So I don't know. I genuinely like both of them. Like they're probably two of my favorite islanders ever. And like for them to get to the point of a friendship where they have, it's just really, really sweet. So you can tell they had a lot of, I think it's just sad because you can tell that they enjoy being friends. So you can see that there was like clearly a lot of love there because there's still love. So it's just a different version of it. But like that's life. And I think it's really beautiful if they can still have a friendship.
And what I will say is that at the beginning of this series starting, they kind of read out the stats for success couples in Love Island UK. And I think that there's more successful couples, like married with kids, than bachelorettes. So I
There's
think
one
that.
couple, Molly Mae and Tommy, that everyone loves. They have a baby. It's really cute.
Oh yeah, they popped up. There's a few of them though, so that's why I'm just like, oh my gosh, like this show is they are on their format is working, and whether it's because these people all day, like you were with them for at least what you said 8 weeks long that they're together. That's a long time. This particular All Stars was only 5 weeks, but that's still a long time to be with people 24/7. You're sharing a bed from the jump, so you really get to know them very well. You see how they interact with their friends, with other people. I feel like you are put in a lot of situations very quickly, so it makes sense that this is successful. It's almost like the Bachelor in Paradise success rate too, which is almost higher than the main show because they're together all day, every day.
Yeah, I think Love Island is a little bit more interesting than Bachelor in Paradise just because like of the game aspect, like I feel like it's just more entertaining. You're not just sitting and watching them talk all day. But yeah, my favorite Bachelor, I'm not Bachelor, my favorite Love Island couple besides Molly and Callum who aren't together, I would like India and Dami. They're really cute. India is like killing it. She's the host of the Morning After podcast. She's gotten so many sponsorships, so many deals. Like she's hosting other shows. She's given Tayshia, if you like, as far as her trajectory and also the last series, when Ella and Tyreek are a really cute couple.
Is India and Dami, are those the couple that won, the non-black couple that won?
Nope, they did not. I think they came in like second or third, maybe third. Also, Shaq and Tanya are a black couple that I really like. They were on series 9, but they also didn't win. Ella and Tyreek did not win.
I'm just like looking. Oh, I see Shaq and Tanya. Are they married?
No, they've been together for about a year, I think. They recently went on a big trip for her birthday, I think. Well, India there was a really cute video of India and Dammy because he took her to Bali for her 25th birthday. I don't think at the same time when Callum was there messing with the 16 girls, but he took her to Bali and he surprised her at the airport, and like they went in the store and all her family was there, and so he flew everybody in her family to Bali for a week. So it was just like really nice. They have awesome. So yeah, there's some strong Black couples from Love Island to support and root for.
So I've got about 10 episodes left to catch up on. Are any more Black women coming on the show?
No. Okay. It's just okay. Sophie and Cass.
Okay.
And there's one girl, Joanna. I don't know what. I feel like she's mixed race, but I wouldn't call. I don't know.
She hasn't come on for me yet. So I still have some more people to come. Okay.
So when you see her, you'll have to tell me. I think she's mixed race. I'm not sure.
Maybe mixed with something else. I'll investigate. That's been my biggest issue, really, is Kaz not having anyone that seems to really be into her. I did appreciate these last few games where people were picking her more for things, because that first game, not one person picked her for any of the sexiest or whatever. But this time, she got picked like for best body, which, yes, phenomenal. I thought that was... How would you, like, I don't know how I would feel if I paid, had my body done, and then this woman with this, like, and I don't know if her body's natural. I don't know if Kaz's body's natural at all. I don't know. But it's very clear the difference between Hannah and yeah. Kaz. And, like, I would be like, wow, all this work I had done and I didn't get best body.
Right. I agree with you. Like, this series did an injustice to the Black women. Like, Sophie's in a partnership with someone. So I gotta keep on the spoiler, but like Sophie's together with someone.
It's okay.
And also she's with Josh and they're progressing really well. But also I learned like her sister is like a famous broadcaster or news journalist in the UK, and they actually didn't grow up together. So because like her sister knew another contestant from Love Island who actually like put them in touch together. And so her sister comes on later in the season when they get their calls from home. But it was like really sweet. I didn't realize they look so much alike, but it was like really nice to see that connection and then like hear the backstory. But I would say other seasons do a better job. Like there's at least two or three Black women. And then also there's Black women in Casa Amor, which was like why I brought up Casey a while back, because he was with this woman, Cynthia, who's a white woman, but then at Casa Amor he met this other girl. No, I said her name wrong. Cynthia is the girl that he met. I can't remember. Claudia is the girl he was like with before the split to Casa. So he started courting Cynthia, this monoracial Black girl. I really thought he was gonna pick her, and he came back and chose Claudia. So everybody was really upset. So when he came on trying to gun for Kaz, like Twitter was like, stay away. The North remembers. I will say the All-Star series did not have a lot of Black All-Stars, and then there just weren't really good options for Kaz. So like what could she really have done? And I think, like I said, that was casting, and I'll send you that TikTok where they were talking about it. Love Island has similar race issues for sure. And even when the couples get together, Black couples don't win. Like, so despite them still being together now, and the couples that did win are usually not together anymore. So they obviously had a stronger bond and just weren't voted by the public.
Yeah. I will say I say this every single show that I watch. Black women, please just get your hair braided when you're going on TV for weeks at a time. Because that is like my biggest pet peeve, and I feel like it's especially if you are dating white men. Now I love the way Chris like keeps wearing one of her bonnets and like has just fully
it's so cute.
It is adorable. But I'm like, but Kaz, like, you're first of all, the wig looks awful. It like you can see the edges, and that drives me absolutely crazy when you can see the front. So it wasn't put on there well, and I think that she had it like fully glued on. And so it's like, she's not adjusting. I don't know what's happening, but there are some scenes where I'm like, you can see the lace coming up, and then others where it's just, I don't know. I don't know what's happening. I don't know if she's putting on a new wig every day or what, but.
I got to go back and find a bunch of stuff, a bunch of TikToks for you. But like last series, there was Whitney, who She should have won. She's amazing. She's a black woman, and she's dating this guy Locken, and they have such a really, it's a really beautiful love story. But Whitney has a wig line, and so I think a lot of her wigs on the show were like, you know,
Good.
her own wigs, and she kind of launched her career like that. But
Love that.
it is something that doesn't get talked about a lot, which I think it should be talked about more. And then Tanya, who I was talking about earlier, she was talking about hair on the show, and kind of like people were talking about her wigs, but she was like, well, really, what can you do? And even if you get your hair braided, if you're there for the full 8 weeks, like your hair is gonna, it's gonna, those braids are gonna like get old, like unless they have somebody there to retouch them. So
It definitely can, but then we saw like Ceree on all the shows she does, you know, like for Batch
who?
Ceree on Bachelor. I mean, not Bachelor, on our Big Brother.
Oh, I've heard her name, but I don't watch Big Brother.
Okay, well, Ceree is like she's a Survivor legend, and she came on this last season of Big Brother, which filmed for how long was it? 40 some, I don't remember. It was like the longest season ever. And she had her hair braided the whole time. And yeah, it does grow out. So I get that, but it doesn't grow out to the point of it looking crazy in that amount of time. The most that'll happen is you might have to just wear it up more, you know? Like it's not gonna be noticeable. Not as noticeable as like your freaking lace coming up. And Justine is she's the one who pretty much always gets braids whenever she goes on these shows, and she looks phenomenal. She looks so good. She's able to have fun, do all the water stuff, and it's not an issue.
Yeah, her hair looked good on Games.
Oh, it looks so good. It was perfect. And I know that they have people who can do their hair just as well. You know, they're in South Africa. So I
I
know that
mean,
they get done.
I just think it's like a barrier because, like, a lot of the mixed race contestants don't have that problem because they can just do the curly and go. But, like, yeah, I think it's a barrier of access. Like, I was thinking about that when, you know, we were fully remote. I'm like, I have to get up and do my hair every day, like, to turn on my camera because I have to turn on my camera. Like, it's just something that, like, other people don't have to experience. And there are, you know, there are some white women who, like, on The Bachelor in Paradise, I'm not gonna, I love this person, so I'm not gonna say, but like, there, you can see that, you can
Their
see their
chest.
extensions. Yeah.
And I
Like,
talk
you
shit
can.
about her too when that like it was not cute.
And some of Georgia hates, you can see a lot of her. Like, it's not just
Oh,
the black women.
Demi, you could see
Demi, yeah.
the things in. But yeah, so it's not just the black women, but I think on a show that is not geared towards us, where you have an audience who already doesn't understand us, like when you give them those excuses to that subtract from your natural beauty, like it takes people out of the game. It's like, oh, this is not real. Like, don't give them a reason to think that. So this is one of the reasons why I locked my hair, because I'm a naturally curly girl, but I have a lot of hair, having to do it every day, it was just too much. And the fact that I could just wake up and like I just got out of bed 5 minutes before we started filming. You know, I got out and brushed my teeth and took my hair out of the pineapple. And you know, I'm the rest of myself looks crazy, but like my hair looks good, you know?
Yeah,
So
it does.
that's one of those things that's like eliminate the issue of that they're already gonna give you, you know? Like, okay, you know, growing up, we were always told like we had to give 110% being black women. We can't give them a reason to subtract from us. We can't give them a reason to not choose us. And so for me, I'm like, our hair is one of those things that becomes a reason to not relate to us. So don't give them that
Yeah,
reason.
well, I know personally I've been wearing my hair like in braids like at least the past 6 months because I just don't want to do it. So
Cheesier.
I, and like, I just understand like the scrutiny is at a larger scale because of like TV. So I feel for them. It's hot.
Yeah.
I hate being hot.
That
That's
too.
probably the main reason I wouldn't want to be on the show. I just can't. You can't. I just can't be sitting in the sun all day.
No.
I have like one of my friends bought me a Christmas gift with the Love Island water bottle, so I have one. I
Nice.
actually have two because I bought one for myself, and then I told her because I bought her one, and then she was like, "Oh, I think I bought it for you too,"
That's
which is
hilarious.
really funny. But yeah, so it's really hot. It's probably sweating. Like, I'm sure maybe the glue is in the right place
And then,
in the
but then also
morning, and then
the
you're out in the sun in South Africa. Like, I feel like it's that's part of it too.
But then also the wind, they are struggling. All the girls, not just the black girls, all of them are like, hair is not staying in place. You can see all of their weaves because they it's all over the place. So I'm like, why wouldn't you want to make it easier on yourself and just braid it up?
I think some people do wear braids, but like, I don't know.
Justine does. I haven't seen, I haven't watched UK, so I don't know. But yeah, I can't wait to go go back and watch some older seasons. Really quick, do you think that Sophie looks like Lauren London?
I actually think her body gives like early Beyonce. Like if you really look, like her body is
got hips.
Insane.
Yeah.
Like, if I had her body, I would definitely be on Love Island.
Yeah, like I didn't realize it at first when they were walking in because they didn't do like a full body. But then when she was standing up there to read who the public had voted her to be with, I was like, oh, hips, okay, I see you. Yeah, she's got a sick body. Her body's almost like Maya, the host.
Maya Jama. She's dating Stormzy. They had a cute little TikTok.
Wait, who is she dating?
Stormzy, the rapper.
Okay, I didn't know that. Rapper. That's why she's like, I'm like, this girl is too fucking gorgeous. Why is she not a contestant on the show?
She's perfect. So if you watch I've only seen her as a host, but there was another woman and I forgot her name, but she passed away. I believe she passed away and it was like a mental health issue. Like, I don't want to like say the wrong thing, but Maya Jama has been the host for like the past 4 or 5 seasons.
Okay.
But if you compare Maya to like Sarah Hyland, like Sarah Hyland is just not giving in the same way.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think Maya is a great host. But I know there, I think her name was Caroline, because this Love Island page I follow posted that about her. So Maya is the second host, but she's really great.
Yeah. I think she's gorgeous and I just want to see more of her. I feel like they don't utilize her enough on the show.
She walks in and like delivers bad news and goes home.
They utilize her more on the shows. Do they utilize her more on the regular show? Like maybe
it's about the same. It's about the same.
I just feel like sometimes, and maybe because it's not a they're not all elimination episodes, like how, you know, Bachelor has a rose ceremony every day, but they don't recouple every single day. Sometimes they recouple and don't eliminate anybody. So she won't be there.
Right. Sometimes she's not there during the eliminations. You're right.
Yeah.
But yeah, it does feel like Jesse's there more because you see him every week. I honestly don't know how often it is that she comes in. Like, I'll have to track it. Like, I think that's interesting to see. But she comes in wearing the best outfit, slaying.
They give her the shine that she deserves. It is phenomenal when she comes
in. It is. It is.
And I guess it's just funny because it's like the show comes on every day and you see her one day a week.
Maybe that. At one point I was like, when I was watching the USA, when I was like, where is Sarah? And I think it was like when she had, like, it was her honeymoon, but she got the job. So she's doing it.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay, well, Ash, thank you so much for joining me to talk about Love Island and break it down, because I didn't know what I was getting into. You know, what's funny is that Trey from Katie Thurston's season of The Bachelor, The Bachelorette, is the one who was like, no, you have to watch this show. It's so good. I was like, okay, I will finally watch it. I will sit down and watch it. And I was messaging with him as I started it. And he's not even watching it.
Man, it is great. I love, also Trey is great. Shout out to Trey.
He's hilarious, good people. He just became an uncle again. And so he's like, life be life in. And I just haven't caught up to it yet. So.
It does. And like we said, if you miss one, you might as well wrap it up. But I love Love Island. I probably love it more than The Bachelor, if I'm being honest. But The Bachelor is my bread and butter. So I got to do what the people like. I don't dislike The Bachelor, but I just feel like the power imbalance and, you know, all sorts of things. And each show, Love is Blind, The Bachelor, Love Island, like they all have their pros and cons and they all can coexist. But Love Island is energizing me right now. So I'm going to go with that. It's a great show.
I think that Love Island has way more features that keep you interested that The Bachelor is just severely lacking. And like, it's like The Bachelor's format is getting stale. It's getting, we're catching on to the bullshit. We're catching on to being lied to. We can now tell when you're Frankenbiting things, and that's not fun. No one wants to feel lied to. No one wants to feel like we're not watching the real story. And like with this season, so many of the contestants are like, only believe half of what you see. That's not the full story. Like we are being lied to, and it's very upsetting. I know it's happened in the past, but I feel like this season is so egregious, and because it's affecting women's real lives so terribly. It just feels dangerous. It feels very unsafe, and I don't like it. So
a lot of contradictions for me this season. Like, it's enjoyable, but it's also not. Like, I'm loving the lead, but there's also like things going on outside of the show. Like, I don't know, everybody's really celebratory of all of the followers and the gains, and I'm like, it's great, but you know, Daisy has more followers than Charity, who was on The Bachelor, The Bachelorette, and did a whole season of Dancing with the Stars.
And it's now on tour.
And like, it's now on tour, and it's just like, I just don't like that. That like, Charity had to do all of that. Like the Beyonce commercial, which I will stop. But you know, Beyonce was literally in outer space. And still like, did I break this record? And you know, it was just a funny commercial. But also, Beyonce saying, what more do I have to do to get the credit that I deserve? And, you know, I feel the same way, like, with Charity. Like, the best Bachelorette season I've ever watched. The best love story I've seen on the show. Why does she have the best dancer on Dancing with the Stars? There's no way she deserved fourth place. You will never convince me. So, it's just like, what more do you have to do? So, there's a lot of contradictions. I am enjoying Joey. He's a phenomenal Bachelor. I'm worried because people are putting him on too high of a pedestal. He's a person. He's a human. He's gonna be human. So I'm just worried about that.
Half of Bachelor Nation is already upset because he was in the White House with Kamala.
Interesting choice. Like, at the time when I just like saw it, you know, I'm always like on my story, so I'm just like posting it, moving on. Then I got a lot of comments, and then people were like, don't look in the comments. So of course, I'm gonna go back and look in the comments. And it was just like, people were so upset, but I'm also like, this is like the most, did The Bachelor take a stance? Am I crazy? Or are they just like straddling the fence? Like, I'm going to feed this audience a little bit, or like to Joey? Like, I just want to know why. And I'm
they are letting you know The Bachelor has new people in charge, and we're going, because everything is different this year. And not to like, this supposed to be a Bachelor podcast, so I'm not going to talk too much about it, but like, they've made a lot of changes that I think were good changes and that have brought The Bachelor up to 2024. So the fact that they are promoting the women's social media pages more, like, they are, every time they post something on Instagram, they are tagging the women in it. They didn't used to do that. They used to just act like Instagram didn't exist for anybody.
Right.
Women used to not be able to post their own stuff throughout the show. So they are giving them material, taking their pictures. They're doing TikToks in the mansion, you know? So it is completely different. And I love that, because it's like, we're getting to see more, quote unquote, behind the scenes, not really. But it makes us feel more connected with them, which I feel like is why they're getting so many followers. I mean, there is still the whole race piece to it, but I just wonder, had they done the same thing for Zach's season, would Charity be higher in her followers now? I don't know.
That's a great point. I really want to love The Bachelor. I love the community around it, and that community has not yet been beaten. Like, the women that I've met, like you, so many intelligent women that I've become close to as a result of watching the show. I'm just still like you said, I don't know. I'm just maybe it's the middle of the season. Got to keep pushing through. But his women are lovely, beautiful. I'm having a great time. So
I'm enjoying it. I love Joey, but I definitely hope that they continue to pick up some of these more modern trends and move the show into this new future. Take some notes from Love Island. Take some notes from Love Island. Take some notes from Love is Blind. Don't try to replicate them. Like, when Bachelor in Paradise tried to like replicate Casa Amor, it was terribly done.
Horribly received.
Everybody hated it. So you know, if you're gonna study something, make sure you do your homework. And
because they didn't even have enough time. They're only there for 4 weeks, so that you don't even have enough time to really do Casa like it should be done.
Yeah,
or establish the couples.
No, it literally made no sense. They, not only did they do it too late in the season for only like 2 or 3 days, but it was just a mess. It just didn't make any sense. And yeah, like you said, they don't have enough time. The whole show is only filmed in less than 3 weeks. Like the rest of the rest of the time that they're gone, they are filming the interviews. They're being staged for like when they leave and stuff, or when they come and when they leave. But it's not even filmed for a whole month. So yeah. Insanity, but anyway, this is a great show. If you haven't watched it, definitely check it out. Let us know what
DM me, please.
Yes, DM Ash, DM me.
Comment. I will reply.
Let us know your thoughts. Yeah. All right, Ash, I'll talk to you later.
Bye.
Thank you for joining me, and a special shout out to my guests. All of their social media and page info can be found in the show notes. If you liked what you heard, please like, subscribe, and follow this podcast and my Instagram page at kickingitwith_Rae. That's RAE. Theme song was created by Chad Milner, and producing and editing was all done by me. See you next week.